This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey gang, big news in the world of We Hate Movies live appearances, and this one, well, you better get your holiday coat on, because it's not happening until December.
We're so excited. It's actually a hometown show for this Jersey boy.
Only you.
Jersey City's beautiful White Eagle Hall will be hosting the We Hate Movies podcast, and we're going to be talking about a Christmas movie, Eric Siska. What is that movie?
Oh, my God. It is The Santa Claus, the original film. Is it original? Yeah, it's original.
The first one.
Tim Allen.
Yes.
Finds a fatso, falls off his roof.
Yep.
We're going to be talking all about it on December 7th, which is a day that will live in infamy, White Eagle Hall.
I mean, it incidentally lives in infamy. We're to the side of it.
We're adding to the infamy.
Yeah,
it's just exactly. It's more infamy because this will be our debut in Jersey City. And this is what it's come down to, folks. Steve Sadak refusing to get on planes, refusing to get a driver's license to help out with rent-a-cars.
I refuse to get on a train for this show. I'm fucking walking.
Oh, I gotta walk to the venue.
So I guess this is the new normal, gang. Only wherever Steve's legs can carry him.
But it's an awesome venue, and it's really close to the train. If you're like you're in the city, or if you want to drive in from Pennsylvania, wherever.
Mm-hmm. Right, the PATH train's not too far, right?
PATH train's a stone's throw away.
Stone's throw, folks. Come on out to the White Eagle Hall.
That's right. Tickets are on sale now, so get them in advance. Get them fast. This is going to be a popular show. December 7th, White Eagle Hall, Jersey City, New Jersey. Tickets available right now at WHMPodcast.com.
It's Christmas time again. It's time to be nice to the people you can't stand all year.
Welcome to WHM Mailbag, everybody. I'm Andrew Jupin alongside the whole gang, Steven Sadak, Christopher Cabin, Eric Siska. We're going to read some letters for you. Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to do. We're going to read some letters that you wrote.
Welcome to the mailbag.
What is that?
Come along with us as we go on an epistolary journey.
Is this John Rhys-Davies?
No, that would be more racist. Oh,
journey.
Uh-huh. John, that's a good name.
I'm gonna stop doing that.
Let's get right into it, though. Steve, you can start reading the first letter.
Yes, it is titled, What Are You Listening To?
Uh-oh.
Hey, gang. This is a short one, which I love.
I appreciate short correspondence.
Oh, no, that's not you. I thought that was you for a second, but that's what the letter says.
this is a short one, but then I added what I love.
Yeah.
And I, being a short one myself, I appreciate it.
I love a good short one.
You like shorts, right? You wear some high shorts?
Oh, definitely.
Gotta salute them.
Got to see them at the summer.
Respect those shorts. So get the fuck out.
Thank you for your shorts service.
Yes, exactly.
Respect the shorts.
Because it's summer. This is summer bag, right?
Shorts live?
Summer bag.
Well, we're recording this after Memorial Day, so it is a summer bag.
It's a summer bag. Actually, it's not quite a summer bag because my balls aren't sticking to my leg quite as much yet. Not just yet.
Fingers crossed for next week.
Garbage smell hasn't started wafting through the New York area.
Although the hot piss on the sidewalk certainly has. Thanks a lot, homeless people and the drunk.
You can finally put your balls in nice whites. Can wear whites. Your balls can wear whites.
Cotton white.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right,
ball bag.
I guess the all ball letters. I guess you could consider it a PSA. We Hate Movies is not safe for work, which
kidding.
That's what that E is for, man. That's what the E is for.
Well, thank Tipper Gore for that shit.
You don't think people want to hear about Joe Pesci's maggot?
To be fair, it depends on what kind of job you have.
It's true. Maybe you know, maybe you work at an adult bookstore. I don't think anyone's going to care.
Well, yeah, sure.
Or, you know, suggesting that Joe Pesci's maggot looks like the little worm from Labyrinth coming out of the wall.
Gotcha. Okay. I happen to be listening to one of your infamous mailbag episodes while at work yesterday. Mind you, I didn't have my headphones on as they were charging.
Well, first of all, what are you fucking doing? You're like, you're walking around with a loaded gun.
You are the boombox, practically.
Like, seriously.
I don't, I mean, like,
whatever transpires after this, buddy, it's your fault.
And this is why I'm a wire man. I'm not charging my headphones. I need headphones. I don't know when I'm going to be on the subway. I use them to sleep. I just need headphones at all times.
I have travel phones. I have desk phones.
Yeah, you
got. I've got them in multiple locations, so they're always there.
Mm-hmm. I just use my AirPods and act responsibly with the battery.
Yeah, well, that's just
slam.
That's just fantastic.
SummerSlam.
It would be fantastic to have that much time.
Yeah.
You know, like, just to have that much time.
Or memory that
and that few things to worry about. I'm worried about AirPods.
Dude, you know what, Steve? ABC, man, always be charging.
As one of my much older female coworkers.
Take that, lady.
Wow.
Take that, Marge.
We were in high school together. my much older female coworkers.
Dude. Why is it underlined? I didn't know you could do that in email.
Is this podcast about Rosie the Riveter?
Oh my God.
Leave Rosie out of this.
Rosie was great, man.
Yeah, she is great.
Wait, did you seriously not know that you could fucking underline text in emails?
You can?
Oh my Lord.
It was one of my much older
Word doc thing.
Female coworkers walked in the break room. She greeted me as she walked over to the vending machine just a few feet away from me. She said, "You listen to those podcasts again, Mr. Vega?" She asked casually.
And then Vincent Vega shot her in the belly.
Whilst taking a shit.
Yes, then, by the way, he shits twice in that movie, I guess, supposedly.
Yes,
we don't hear
so we heard.
Yeah, we don't hear the splash. I don't think so. I need to rewatch that. But does he do the splash? You hear the splashback?
You just see him on the turtle.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I need.
He could be backed up. He could be backed up.
I need confirmation. I need at least splashing or wiping.
What? You don't need it. You just want it.
Yeah. You know, actually, speaking of the other Vega brother, I'm going to read this as Lawrence Tierney in Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, wait, perfect.
Listen to those podcasts again, Mr. Vega.
Right, because Michael Madsen was also Mr. Vega, right? They were going to be the Vega brothers forever.
That was going to happen.
You go buy headphones, you plug them in, you go home. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do.
Vic Vega's outside.
Who?
Vic Vega's outside. Before I could even answer her question, the poor woman was subjected to the following. I don't know who said this originally. Did that come up when you Googled bestiality? Affleck stink. Then somebody else said, the Affleck will spray his mate before penetrating.
Yeah, that sounds like us. Yeah,
that sounds like Eric and me specifically.
No, this does not bring true to me.
I immediately stopped the episode and hung my head in shame. Before I could even respond, the woman simply stated, I'll do Lawrence Tierney again.
You have to.
I guess I shouldn't have asked.
And proceeded to leave the room.
Stop pointing that podcast at my dad.
Yeah, that's humiliating, man.
Larry, you and me go back a long ways, and we listen to a lot of podcasts together. But if you talk about bestiality in front of my dad, I'll shoot you in the head.
Sorry. Hey, where's my podcast dad?
He's in the bathroom.
This is signed John, and I imagine John Vega, unless he's using a nom de plume here. Maybe he's being clever.
What is a John Vega?
I don't know.
Well, why is that clever?
Well, no, because he says his last name in the middle of the email.
Well, maybe it's just a mistake and you just fucking doxed this dude.
I mean, first of all,
the one John Vega in America.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, he left his address, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Says, I mean, if my last name was Vega, I'm definitely going by Johnny Vega. That's
absolutely.
That's how it's going to be.
And then eventually, and depending upon how hip you were to participating in orgies
yeah.
that would then transform into Johnny Vegas.
Oh, I like it.
Real
but,
quick.
But Johnny Vega, don't you have to become a street fighter then?
Yeah.
Isn't that by law?
It depends if your face is mangled in some way, shape.
Wait, okay. Yeah, have you ever been in a car accident?
Right, Street Fighter, that guy was named Vega, right?
He was, yeah. And he's the third Vega brother.
What was his first name?
You don't know, just Vega.
Yeah, dude, who's a man of mystery.
So it would be a Vega Brothers movie. It would be Michael Madsen, John Travolta, and somebody playing Vega from Street Fighter, and they have to go to Spain to get him out of trouble.
Was Vega in that first Street Fighter movie?
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Barely.
Mm, that's too bad.
Yeah.
I think nobody played him.
Oh, yeah, like, that checks out. Wow, that's
that first Street Fighter movie.
But it'd be great. The plot would be great. You'd be like, the Vega Brothers got to go save
someone,
mask Vega, because like some dudes just poured acid on his face.
Yes.
Oh, totally.
You know, the crime business that happened.
Yeah, he fucked up our brother.
I gotta say, it's not too late for a Vega Brothers movie. It is. I'm sure people feel that way.
Well, actually, no.
One of them's been dead since 1994.
Actually, no,
and the other one's been dead since 1992.
Damn it! I don't. Well, yeah, I guess
you
that's
know what?
Fair.
Just de-age them like they're doing for The Irishman.
Just yeah, that's what I want to watch is a fucking de-age Travolta. No thanks.
What if it's just an alternate universe where that shit didn't happen?
Oh, that could be.
And it's just the two of them and they're doing something. I could get it.
Okay, so it's a what-if story, man.
It's some fan fiction I wrote, man. Yeah, I'm a fan of myself, Jan.
And this fan fiction has no foot fetishes. No foot fetishes.
Yeah, okay, I'll believe it next year.
All right, Chris Cabin.
I mean, that happens a lot. That, you know, you should always listen ahead. First of all, nobody needs to listen to your podcast, whether it's this podcast or anybody else's podcast or music. Headphones.
Well,
always.
Especially anyone else's podcast.
Yeah, definitely not everybody else.
No, but the point is just stop bothering people.
Exactly.
Stop inundating people with your personal preference and fucking put headphones on.
Just email it to them. Nice little link.
Just send a couple of links.
Yeah,
forward, RERE.
If they click on it, it's their responsibility.
Uh-huh.
All right, Chris Cabin.
Okay, Grand Theater Larceny.
All right.
Your recent mailbag discussing movie theater popcorn thievery reminded me of an especially egregious instance of theft from my time at a rave theater in Louisville, Kentucky. Yeah, did you do acid at that? Okay.
That's pretty good.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, you've definitely been to a rave.
Oh, can you do that again?
All right, now read.
Vic Vega.
Yeah, oh, totally.
Yeah.
And now you're going to go punch a card.
DJ Vic Vega. Or DJ Johnny Vega.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh. There it is.
DJ Johnny Vega.
Vega's got the claw and he's holding the headphones.
Yeah!
<like this. laughs>
Yeah!
I only worked there briefly, but made some close friends in my time there, including an usher concessionaire named Andy.
I know who that guy is.
Hey, Andy.
Take this popcorn, Andy. Andy was 20 years old at the time of his employment and thus unable to legally purchase alcohol. Fortunately for him, this theater had a restaurant serving liquor and the worst possible inventory controls.
Oh, Jesus. There you go. It just gets like you every time.
Shitting hands and throwing it at people. That sounds like disaster.
That's exactly what it meant.
Numerous times, Andy referenced to me how easy it would be to pilfer beverages from the restaurant in a joking manner. But I
joking.
Was
joking. Yeah, exactly.
Man, what if we stole all this?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a perfect crime. Except for they know exactly who did it.
Hey, man, do you think we could steal these chairs?
What if the till was just a little light tonight, right? That'd be kind of crazy, right?
Hey, what if we made out?
What if I take home the movie screen? That'd be fun.
Really, like roll it up like a rug, right? It's funny.
It'll be hilarious if we bootlegged all the movies in the theater after hours. Wouldn't that be greatly hilarious?
That's a good idea.
Yeah, not bad. But I was technically his supervisor at the time.
Idiot.
Failure.
Shot him in the head.
I shortly left the theater for a different career and ended up moving in with Andy and a few of our friends.
Wow.
As he too left theater employment. We were planning to throw a party the first weekend we had moved in, and the subject of alcohol came up when I offered to purchase necessary libations. Thanks, buddy. Since I was since I was of age, Andy laughed and looked at the other roommates knowingly.
Hold on. So timelines get a little messed up here. Andy is 20 when they're working in the theater.
And apparently still can't buy alcohol while you're moving in with someone who works under you.
Yeah, I was technically he left the theater shortly there.
Shortly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Yeah.
Okay, all right.
This all checks out.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Don't worry, we're not being lied to yet.
He can't drink libations yet.
Oh, man, you are so annoyed at that word.
Still weird. Still weird.
He directed me to his room where he pulled out a surprisingly heavy plastic tote from his closet and opened it up to reveal at least 30 or more bottles of liquor, including Maker's Mark, Blanco's, and Crown Royal.
It'd be funny if we did it, is what I'm saying. It would be funny.
Look how hilarious this is.
He also had 3 wrapped packs of theater readmission tickets.
Oh, wow. Dude. Wow, this is like Ocean's 11.
Yeah, this is like literally larceny. Yeah. This is a crime.
Well, Grand Theater larceny.
Yeah, it's true.
which were typically given to theatergoers who had experienced some sort of issue with their showing to see a movie a different day. Each pack effectively contained 50 tickets to the theater. So today, 150 times what? $12?
That's middle America's.
Well, you're not
$10.
Getting money.
Yeah, they're not selling it.
But about $1,500. You know, that's. Yeah. But the cash value matters when you steal stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I see what you're saying. I thought you were thinking some sort of resale scam.
No.
Like going down to the street corner. Handed out movie tickets. First one's free just to get a taste.
Oh, no, I'm out. Okay. This is a bad business.
Oh, you like that Avengers Infinity Wars, huh? Yeah, guess what? In a couple months, you're making an Endgame. Yeah, everybody comes back in that one.
Almost like the other movie didn't matter, but you need to see it. You need to see it. $1,500 for these tickets.
Yeah, the first day is free.
They're more expensive than just going to the theater.
Yeah, $100. $100 to see Endgame.
Infinity War was free. Endgame was $100. That would be fucking awesome if Marvel did that. Not awesome, but terrible. Like, oh yeah, Endgame is just $90 a ticket. Sorry.
Oh yeah, that would break those people.
You want to know what happened to Captain America?
Yeah, you wouldn't be fucking laughing about watching that movie 4 times in the theater now, would you?
And now I'm broke. Combined, I estimate Andy had stolen well over $1,500 worth of theater value in his time of employment. And all without being caught or suspected by management.
What?
Wow.
That's stupid.
Charlie from Louisville.
Well, not until we just... I mean, I hope we're using pseudonyms here. I hope Andy's not, you know. It's you know Charlie? Yeah. He lived been with that guy, Andy. Yeah, Andy used to work. Yeah, he stole from us a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Call the police.
How do you just miss 30 bottles?
Yeah.
One every, week or so.
You think he was doing that? Like a little bit?
Oh, yeah. It wasn't a massive heist. Just skimming a little bit here and there.
I wish it was a massive heist.
They play Paul Oakenfold while they're taking Maker's Mark out of the...
Yeah, and also maybe the inventory was so as such where they had 30 Maker's Mark. You know what I mean? Where you're not you can kind of just slip away with that stuff as opposed to I don't know. I feel like most places, a movie theater should have one bottle of Maker's Mark on it at one time.
But, yeah, that's
how much whiskey are you serving at this
place? It depends upon what kind of... I don't know what's going on at rave theaters. I've never been to one.
This theater deserved it. I'm changing my position. Fuck these guys. You guys did right.
I agree with that.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I think that's a good statement.
I mean, I certainly never stole anything from any of my jobs, present or past. I don't know.
I used to steal stuff from the multiplex all the time.
Constantly. Wow, that sounds like a crime.
Boxes of candy, bulk candy, drinks. Oh, yeah, fuck it.
Well, notice we're not saying what theater we worked for.
Well, it's also been demolished. Yeah. So.
Also, just listen to any other mailbag to find out which theater you worked for.
He sent you together.
No, I don't think we ever let that one out of the bag.
It's
for the right reason.
It's no longer standing. So.
I would, when I worked at a bagel place, I would make my own bacon sausage, egg, and cheese.
Uh-huh.
That'd be free, though.
That's not too bad.
You giving yourself double bacon on that thing?
Oh, yeah.
I figured.
You're making a fucking stacker.
You can fucking put as much bacon as you want on it. It's your own sandwich that you're making.
I've got no thievery stories, really. I remember once I was in the mall as a child, very young.
Uh-huh. As most children are.
A minor.
Yeah.
And someone had dropped a $20 bill in the store.
Uh-huh.
And I went and picked it up and the shopkeep was like, "Hey, that ain't yours." I'm like...
How the fuck do you know?
I was like, it isn't mine.
Did you go, prove it?
No. I was frazzled because I thought I had the perfect crime.
Yeah.
And I just put it on the counter and walked out.
I got caught shoplifting once. I had a little shoplifting phase in my mid-teens.
Really?
Was it Brainstorm? Or whatever?
Bone Storm.
Bone Storm. The Simpsons. Yeah.
No, there was a little bodega down the way that I'd go to all the time, and I was very into gum, and gum was pretty expensive. You know, gum's like $2 a pop for gum. You know, like the Dentine Ice kind of gum.
Look at this. Oh, kids used to be into gum. Mm-hmm. Now they're into gun. I don't get it.
And I had like this huge, like, kind of zip up hoodie that I would wear, and I would just like. You'd go up to the counter and talk to the dude, and you'd just be like, kind of grabbing.
Oh,
stuff.
Shit.
Yeah, I did that for like a month, and I didn't get caught until I finally did. And the guy's like, get out of my store. I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. It was like, I was like, please don't arrest me. It's just humiliating to get caught stealing.
That's a more honorable thing than me getting caught stealing pornography.
And this
which did happen.
Monday? This Monday?
Yeah, this past Monday, I was arraigned. No, I was like, there was a local, like, it was just kind of a bodega, but it's in the suburbia, so it's like a news shop.
Yeah.
Coulson's, you know where I'm talking
about.
Oh,
yeah. We're just throwing out all sorts of proper names today.
But, so, okay, so I did it. I had a bigger pocket in my coat.
It was a pornography size pocket.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. They didn't keep this shit behind the counter?
No. This is straight out there.
Really?
That's disgusting.
It was a fucking like gross liquor store.
Yeah.
It's a magazine rack, right? Magazine
racks. Okay. They covered it. They did the covering thing. So I do it and I get out of the store. Fine. I hold the door open for the guy behind me and he says, "Hey." And I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "You want to put the merchandise back?"
Oh, man. And he's calling pornography the merchandise, by the way.
He went around. You had a blade and you slit his throat real fast.
I can't get caught.
I won't go back to porno.
Go back there.
No, it's this retired cop guy who looked like Philip Baker Hall.
Oh, God.
And he made me go back, like, put it. He's like, "I ain't going to bust you or nothing. Just go and put it back."
Okay. That's not as bad.
I went and put it back. And then I locked eyes with the guy at the counter who clearly knew what was going on.
Oh, sure.
And that guy later substitute taught one of my classes.
Dude, did he slip you some porno at school to like make up for it?
Just death stare. Pure death stare.
Well, what kind of mag we're talking about here?
I think it was a Penthouse Letters.
Okay. What, the Forum?
Yeah.
There's not even any pictures in that. I'm just getting what's easy, man. Some people.
First sight, I guess.
The mind,
they still had pictures.
The mind is an erogenous zone, Andrew, okay?
So yeah, like that's
painting
horse
a picture
shit.
In
nope.
literature.
That's horse shit. No.
I never read Penthouse Letters or Penthouse. No. So I don't know what's in it.
Well, I didn't get to, Eric.
Well, they are all fictional stories.
Right.
Yes. So there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're fictional ladies, too.
Within the stories, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Next letter.
Me?
Yeah. That's right.
It's you.
Is it the two shit flight?
Yeah. That's the one.
Hey, guys. I'm a huge fan of your show and have been listening for years. I thoroughly enjoyed your recent episode on Final Destination, particularly the you people put in these fancy words.
Tangential.
Discussion. we can just trade off. About the time, I'll just say line.
Line. Reading.
I didn't do that too good in school. About the time not existing in airports, the etiquette of hot food drinking on planes, that was a slash I kind of just drove right past.
It's a slash. It's pronounced slash.
And movies with two shits. I travel frequently for work and have a story I'd like to share that includes all of those topics.
Well, let's get to it, email.
I'll tell you a movie that doesn't have two shits is that Birdman movie because I didn't give two shits about it.
Wow, still complaining about Birdman after all these years.
That's Lenny Butters movie reviews.
I didn't give two shits about that Birdman.
First of all, if he shits, is it like a little white plop?
Oh, man. Does Birdman have a thing like real birds where it's like the piss and the shits in the same thing?
Oh, that's amazing.
That's what birds do. There's a word for it that I can't remember and you wouldn't be able to read.
It's a plop.
What?
Plop.
It's called, yes, plop.
This week we're doing Spotlight. I gave one shit about this.
I gave it precisely one shit about Spotlight.
Yeah, I like this.
Because them priests were fucking horrible.
Mad Max Fury Road, five shits. I gave a full five shits.
That's a full toilet for Fury Road.
You see Charlize Theron in that movie? She's amazing.
He was transporting a tanker of shit. Anyway, a couple of years back, I was traveling home from a week-long work trip overseas. I had just gotten off a red-eye flight and was headed towards the gate to make my early morning connection flight back home. I don't sleep well on planes, but thought I could if I had more leg room on the second flight of my trip.
Mm.
I asked the woman at the gate if she had at the gate desk if she had any emergency exit row window seats available. Because I wanted to open it mid-flight.
I was going to say, that's a bit suspicious. Yeah. Nobody ever asks for those seats. Yeah,
were you sweating and itching yourself as well?
She didn't have a window seat, but she got me the next best thing, a two-seater row with no seat next to the emergency exit.
Oh, I've played this game before.
It was technically a middle seat, but there was no seat to my right.
Yep.
And there would be extra leg room. I boarded the plane in one of the early waves of people, took my seat, and prepared to settle in. As the time moved on, no one sat down in the aisle seat next to me. Was I going to get lucky and have a two-seater row to myself?
That's the dream.
Which is the best.
You just like the hair on your neck starts tingling.
Everyone do that before?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've gotten that too. Nice.
Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful. We, for my honeymoon, we upgraded to, not first class, but like into the first row, whatever that they call that. The
emergency exit.
The first row behind first class. And like, so you got all this extra leg room anyway, but it's still a three-seater.
Right.
Right.
Third guy didn't show up. So it was practically like being in first class.
That's awesome.
That's great.
You got to love it.
Mm-hmm.
A few minutes before the scheduled departure, one final man boarded the plane. As he approached, I could see he was sweating like he'd been running.
Oh,
and his clothes were dirty. And not like I've been traveling for 24 hours dirty, more like I'm wearing old clothes because I ran out of clean things. And this was the cleanest outfit I had, but it's still pretty gross.
Oh, God.
This guy should not ask about the emergency exit.
Yes, seriously.
This guy will definitely get kicked off.
He sat next to me.
Oh,
I'm going to puke. It was unpleasant, but I figured I could turn towards the window and still catch some sleep. Except 15 minutes after takeoff, at approximately 6:15 a.m., the man reached below his seat and pulled
up.
I kid you not.
No.
A piping hot, huge-ass burrito.
Oh, come on, everybody.
6:15 in the
Where
morning.
Where did you get this?
No. It's the airport, dude.
Yeah, do not do. Do not do.
Is he going to jog in this fucking plane? What's going on here?
He lowered his seat back tray and unwrapped the foil of the burrito and bit into it.
Where's the fucking air marshal, dude? This guy's a terrorist.
Burrito juice sprayed everywhere.
Burrito juice. Ew.
That's a plop.
That's a plop.
That's a plop.
Burritos sometimes come out as plops, by the way.
Oh, definitely.
It dribbled down his neck and onto his shirt.
Oh, stop it!
It smelled like beans and cheese and barbacoa. Did I say that right?
You did.
Yep.
There were 5 hours left in the flight.
Holy shit, dude.
No.
About an hour later, the man let loose a silent, deadly fart.
Absolutely a terrorist.
I glanced at him, and I could see that he was sweating again. And looking mildly uncomfortable.
Good, fuck him.
Then he farted again, but this time, it wasn't so silent.
Oh, man.
I thought about asking for a new seat, but a quick glance told me that the flight was completely booked.
What, sucks. You don't want to sit next to me? You got a problem.
Oh. Oh, you should. By the way, if you're not watching this on the YouTube channel, you should have seen what these guys just did. So the man got up from his seat and made his way to the bathroom about 12 rows behind us. Loud banging, loud plopping ensued. He returned 20 minutes later. 15 minutes after returning, he got up again and went back to the same bathroom.
Round two, huh, buddy?
Then he pulled out another burrito. Like,
and he saved himself the time and shoved that one directly up his ass.
And then he pulled out a plastic cup labeled burrito juice.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, it's gross.
Oh, my God.
It's
okay,
fucking disgusting.
I considered myself lucky that our seats weren't anywhere near the bathroom. The remaining hours of the flight sucked, but nothing like the first 2 hours. I did not get any sleep. I've been on dozens of flights since then, but have never chosen to sit in one of those two-seater rows again. Also, to anyone listening, I don't care how hungry you are at 6 a.m. A burrito is 100% inappropriate as airplane ride.
Absolutely.
Food. Eat that shit in the airport.
Yep.
Completely. Completely.
It's, or have an egg in it or something. Not fucking barbacoa and beans and cheese. There is such a thing as a breakfast burrito.
Yes,
oh, yeah, that's true.
Don't bring it on a flight either.
No,
fucking
you don't.
Snarf it when you're in line.
Yep. Exactly. You don't get to bring hot food on a plane. That should be like a rule.
Yeah. They really should be a rule. You should be fucking removed from
like
the
either
plane.
We're all eating dinner because we're on a fucking 12-hour cross-country flight.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's food's
Did
everywhere.
Did you bring enough for the rest of us?
Oh, man. Yeah, get like all school marm on him.
Yeah, dude.
I filled this McDonald's cup full of burrito juice. Everybody can have a ship.
Thanks for the laugh, guys. If you've had any bad experiences during a flight or a road trip, I'd love to hear your stories. Rachel from Minneapolis. Well, thank you for the email.
Yeah, I mean, plenty of bad flights over the years. One, including because of Chris Cabin, which I will never forget. We went to a friend's wedding in Seattle.
He pulled out a burrito.
And we were on the flight back, which I believe was some sort of a red-eye situation.
Yeah, and we were going, oh, is this where I left my phone or my iPod or something like that?
Oh, I don't know, maybe. But I was, like, really drugged up. I, like, don't fly sober ever. I'm either drinking or stoned or something. And I was like, gonna tuck in for a nice quiet sleep. And I'm fucking sitting, bitch, right in the middle of the seat. And Chris is not a good flyer.
No.
And so he had the tray table down. And do you remember this? You were watching Simpsons DVDs. And I'm like all cuddled up, like, here we go. Time for some sleep. And Chris Cabin is losing it, laughing at the Simpsons.
Oh, man.
And like, every minute or so, there's like a chuckle, and the chuckle is like an arm expanding chuckle. And I'm going flying in the middle seat. Your joyful laughter, which usually brings me a lot of heartwarming joy itself, was really fucking kill. I wanted to murder you.
Okay,
on that
no
plane.
More joy for me then. I give up.
You're out on joy.
I mean, I've had a bunch of bad flights because I do not like to fly.
Yeah.
I've gotten better over the years.
Right.
Just because I just didn't do it a lot when I was younger, so I didn't get used to it.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much I would need a lot of drugs to calm me down.
Yeah.
I would need a trank. I would need a straight up trank.
I've flown a little bit under the influence, as Chris just mentioned.
Uh-huh.
That's a fucking nightmare, man.
Really?
That is terror at 20,000 feet.
I'm with Steve on that. I don't think I could.
There's something on the wing.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Man.
You just can't handle. I mean, like, not that, but like, if you kind of sometimes, like, you know what? All you're doing is getting high and putting yourself in a position with a lot of authority figures, which is not a great situation.
Yeah. I'm so paranoid when I'm in public and stuff.
Exactly. I guess I just don't give a fuck.
Whoa, dude. This guy. Punk rock.
When I was flying back, we were coming.
By the way, just blast me with whiskey the entire
time. Yes, I know. I do, whiskey because I can handle authority figures with whiskey because that's when. Chest pointed.
you can handle them all right. Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, but if I'm high, I'm like pointing at myself.
Exactly.
It's all my fault.
That's exactly.
I've had too much.
Exactly. But if I've got whiskey, I'm getting you.
We were coming back from Mexico on our honeymoon, and we're in the Cancun airport, and there was some sort of delay, or we got there early or something. We had like a shit ton of time to kill, and they had. It was a fucking Jimmy Buffett in airport Margaritaville location.
Oh, now we're talking.
And we spotted the fucking tableside guac, and it was like, that's all we need, and went. And I got, it was called like the premium margarita or something like that.
Sure.
And
we put a little Corona in there as well, or what are we talking?
Not that, but we're putting in, you better believe, no less than 3 different varieties of tequila.
Yeah.
This thing was, and it was frozen too, it was just a brown slush puppy. it was just brown. There was no like margarita green about it. And I had a fucking great time. I downed that thing.
Did you bark it back up?
No, I was drunk at the airport. It was awesome. We get on the plane. I sit down. We're getting ready to take off. And like by this point, it had been so long. Now I'm just getting hungover.
Oh, that
and I'm like,
sucks.
Oh, this kind of sucks. And then like my back started acting up, and I'm like, oh no, this is even worse. And I'm like contorting and shit. And this was this airline, whatever it was, because this was back in '12, and so this airport or this airline didn't have like select your own movie. It was still like, this is the fucking movie. Deal with it.
Yeah.
So on the screen is just Men in Black 3, which I had already seen.
Oh, that's
so
tough.
I'm contorted, hungover, watching the third Men in Black movie on fucking mute, just like, oh, this is awful. And then so like I'm on the window, Chelsea's in the middle, and then there's this woman sitting next to her, and across the aisle was this woman's mother, and they were two like heinous Queens residents.
Oh.
And they're just screaming, like just kvetching.
You are not allowed to, that's another thing you're not allowed to do on a plane. If Chris and I are sitting here and here,
yep,
we are facing this way, and that is it.
Absolutely. The fucking crosstalk on the aisle, no thank you.
Nope. It's just too much. It's too much.
All right, what we got? One more here?
Yeah, man.
All right, let's do it. Avengers Drunk Game.
Well, that costs even more than 90 bucks.
Hello, WHM crew. I'm a longtime fan of the show and love every second of it. Thank you. My day job
every
can get...
Every second?
Well...
Was this second enjoyable that I interrupted?
There we go.
My day job can get pretty menial, and listening to your podcast is one of the biggest aids to get me through the morning. I wanted to tell you about my experience watching Endgame for the first time on opening weekend. Don't worry, no spoilers here for the listeners. My friend, who I'll call Anna, and I went to see Endgame on Sunday night at the Alamo Drafthouse here in Brooklyn.
I'm going to call her Anna because her name is Anna.
100%. Without question. It was an 8 p.m. showing, and we got there with a little too much time to spare. So we waited in the bar next to the lobby. Good bar. I like that bar.
I love that bar. Yeah. That's a good thing before or after. To
yeah, although my beef is it doesn't open early enough.
Yes.
Like it's some weird, it's like 3 p.m. or something.
Maybe, even before or something, yeah.
Yeah, like, so like if you're getting, like catching like a noon show or some shit, and it's like, oh, you want a little afternoon cocktail,
yeah,
you're fucking SOL.
You have to get drunk elsewhere.
Yeah. Well, you gotta wait 5 minutes to go inside the theater and order it.
If the theater is open, the bar should be open.
That's, yes, that's what I feel too.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
Yeah.
It's like an airport now.
Anna had been out all day at a friend's birthday party and had a few drinks already, but she still ordered a vodka soda at the bar while we waited. I didn't order anything. Alcohol makes me sleepy, and I already knew pushing a three-hour movie on a work night was going to be tough enough.
I gotta really quickly. I went camping last weekend, and we were up.
You fight a bear?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I beat that bear.
You saw Endgame out there in the woods?
No, we went.
Does this campground have a movie theater? Well, one for Endgame, please, Mr. Bear.
This no. is the lake, sir.
No, we just went out to like a little roadhouse dinner thing on the way up there. And just this huge table of people behind us, like it was the most banal, boring conversation that was going on, so much so that this woman regaled the entire table for about 20 minutes on a story that involved going to see Endgame, validating her parking for 3 hours, but that's a three-hour movie. What am I supposed to do? How are they going to... And like the whole, and that was the whole dinner.
Was the whole table hanging on her every
yes,
word?
Yes, exactly.
Wow, what a bunch of losers.
But that's what the real world is like.
Yeah,
a lot
dude.
Of it, right? Like yeah. those people
boring
around.
Stories. That is most true. Of life, boring stories.
I just told two boring stories in a row. I mean, like, that's totally fair.
Sorry.
Let's see. Fast forward to getting our seats in the sold-out theater. I ordered a popcorn and a soda. Anna orders popcorn and another vodka soda.
Nice,
by this point,
Anna.
Yep. By this point, she's already definitely tipsy, but nowhere near drunk yet. Might I say, I like where this is going. The thing about Anna, and I guess most drunk people, she gets loud and talkative. Yeah. Knowing Alamo's very strict policy about talking and being a pain in the ass during movies, I was already a little nervous about being kicked out. Don't worry, I've tried to get people kicked out for that, and they don't actually do anything.
Yeah,
and yes, it was during a screening of Incredibles 2.
Fucking Netflix Narcos over here.
Yeah, we take the right and we don't do nothing. Right? I mean, what do you want
Wait,
to do?
What was happening during the Incredibles 2? That
that's the thing. And this was not what you think. It wasn't kids joyfully enjoying yeah, an animated exactly film.
It was no, kids I know, getting I know. Drunk.
pounded vodka sodas.
There's a couple little Annas over here. No, it was these two women just fucking gabbing. Yeah. And there was a thing where like they brought their kids and they didn't give a fuck about the movie.
Sure.
And they're just talking. And not even, it's, I mean, if you talk during a movie, you should fucking burn in hell for eternity anyway.
Whoa.
But yeah, shut up. It's fine.
For maybe a year. A year in
eternity.
Hell.
No, and you should
All
be
right,
banned from the movies.
Your time. Come
you
on.
Should be banned from the fucking movies. But.
I'm the
There's
devil.
A difference.
You're going to heaven now.
There's a difference between talking like about the movie in the movie and just talking about whatever other innocuous bullshit that's going on in your life. And it was B. It was option B. They're just fucking talking about nothing. And I was like, at least mention Jack-Jack. Please do fucking anything. And I put up two fucking cards. And I was like, I did the fucking seat count. And I was like, look, there's people four seats over. They're talking. It's disturbing me.
Yeah.
Two cards. Server came over, looked at it both times. Jack shit.
And it turned out that he was fucking his secretary named Jack-Jack.
Thank you!
What is it? They're talking. That's not on the menu, sir.
Okay, let's see. By Anna's third vodka soda, I was sweating so hard my shirt was getting damp.
I want to hang out with Anna.
Seriously. To Anna's credit, she was still cognizant enough to know not to talk out loud, but she decided the next best thing was to use the food order cards to scribble down every single thought she had about the movie as the movie was playing, which honestly was equally as distracting. Yeah, that's terrible, because at least if someone like leans over and says something, you can keep looking at the screen.
Yeah.
But if it's like, look at this card I wrote on, now you're drawing the eye somewhere else. That's obnoxious.
That's Captain America.
Yeah, exactly. He was the first Avenger. I lost count at her fifth drink. Holy shit.
I love it.
I'll tell you this, too. Five drinks. Listen, I love drinking at Alamo's. Yeah. That booze ain't cheap.
Yeah, Anna's got deep pockets.
Seriously. All of which she consumed well before the 90-minute mark. Hachi machi.
Okay, maybe Anna has a problem.
Yeah.
The constant scribbling was a pain in the ass, and when I felt brave enough to ask her to stop, she just whispered to me, "I'm writing stuff down so I don't talk during the movie," which wasn't my point at all. I wanted her to stop writing and talking and just watch the damn movie. But she was already 6+ drinks to the wind, and I didn't want to risk more talking. Although I'd had to shush some of her louder comments, and I was worried if I kept going that she'd get mad and loud and we'd get kicked out. Well, after the movie's halfway point, she was ordering yet more drinks, and I was debating using an order card to discreetly ask the waiter to stop serving her. Good God! Dude, I was cut off at the movies. Are you kidding me?
Or just, just everything
stop
comes...
serving her, huh? That's not on the menu.
Or I'm going to do that when we go to the movies. Poison his drink.
kill him.
There'll be $5,000 for you outside after the movie if you poison his drink.
I will wire it to you.
She didn't complain, and the rest of the movie went fine, but I'll never get back those first 2 hours of sweating bullets, clutching my armrests, shushing her, and being distracted by her drunk scribbling. It really wrecked my experience of the movie. My question for you guys is, have you ever watched a movie with a friend who was such a bad movie buddy that you debated ever seeing a movie with him again? Love the show, and thanks for all the laughs. Gabby from Brooklyn.
A buddy of mine that I watched almost every movie in my teens with would always be one beat or two behind the movie and then be like, who's that guy again? And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, man. We just got to keep up. We just gotta keep up.
That person's a stay-at-home moviegoer, then. Yeah, that's absolutely. What that has to be. Mm-hmm.
Today's Iron Man?
I mean, 8 times out of 10, we're stoned, but still.
Right.
But still.
Quiet down.
Quiet down.
I have a few cousins who are discussers. Oh. Like, they like to whisper in your ear, like, oh, that's interesting, huh? And I'm like, no.
Yeah, God, no, just stop. We're not doing that right now.
Okay, so they have been taken off the good movie buddy list.
Ooh.
Yeah,
shit.
I don't have any movie buddies. I go to movies alone or with my wife, and now we don't talk.
Hey, we've gone to the movies together, fuckhead.
How often?
Shazam. We saw Shazam.
Pretty recent.
My fucking, yeah, pretty recent.
It's
movie.
Pretty recent.
Recent, but.
Want me to be calling you every week?
My phone's not ringing. We saw Shazam and this.
You want to go see Ma together?
I do actually.
Okay.
Because Ma's a cool Ma. Hey, come party in my house. But when we saw Shazam, the problem with that, this fucking, by the way, save the assigned seating for fucking important nights. Don't force it at a 1 o'clock screening of Shazam on a fucking Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, that's unfortunate.
So we go see Shazam.
Yeah,
I'm like, I don't care what this fucking assigned seat is. No one's going to put a number on my arm. Uh-huh. We get seats in the very back. We're like, all right, no one's going to fucking be, and the movie has begun.
Oh, you're walking in late?
No. We were cool.
Maria Menounos takes her bow.
There's right. like five people in the theater.
Yeah.
So, and then what does this dude? He comes in with his fucking flashlight on his phone at...
like, that's dude, awful.
Shazam's yep. been on for like 15 minutes. We're already deep into the caverns. Like, fucking... Anyway, I'm not going to
spoil Was he already Shazam?
Almost. Yeah. My lord. Shazam and Ariel.
He was like, oh, wait, no, this guy's going to find
us. So this guy comes and kicks us out of these seats because that was his number.
Oh, wow.
Fucking nerds.
Did you call him a pencil neck or what?
No, I just politely left because I was high.
Anyway.
I mean, the thing about that, and I've attested to this, I think we were talking about this on the John Wick 3 on screen, I am for the assigned seating. However, if I find myself in that situation, which happened to me like kind of twice in recent-ish memory, when I went to see Into the Spider-Verse and It.
Yeah.
Both times, it was like an afternoon thing, and I walked in, and someone was there, and it was like, well... It's not packed.
Yeah.
And I just moved because I'm not dealing with it.
Exactly. Well, I'm not getting in any confrontation. I'm not talking to anybody if I don't have to.
Conversely, the other thing is I saw that fucking horrendous like alien ripoff Life.
Oh, that
last year.
Stinks.
Fucking terrible, awful right? Movie. Late show on the Upper West Side. Empty fucking theater, right? So, and it was a huge auditorium. Mm. And totally, totally empty. These motherfuckers walk in late, and their seats were like it was assigned seating. Their seats were close to me, and they fucking like sat down in them. And I'm like, "Hey, man, look around. It's empty as fuck. Just go a few rows down. Yeah. There's no reason to crowd everybody.
We're gonna get cozy.
Yeah,
me and you gonna get cozy.
It was a mistake. I mean, it was fun for a while. Everyone,
I enjoy it for very specific reasons, but you know, sometimes it can get me to it. To be too much.
I mean, it's not a fucking binding law.
You know, at Alamo Drafthouse, it's different. You're fucking sitting there. You're getting dinner or whatever. I feel like that's a special circumstance.
Yeah, yeah.
But at an AMC Regal, I just don't understand it.
A 1 p.m. on a weekday? My lord.
Yeah.
And we're gonna the guy's going to make me move.
Wow, you're still Steve.
I am. I wanted to kill him.
I was there. He was very angry.
I was very angry.
That is WHM Mailbag. Again, if you want your questions answered on the air, or if you have some crazy story you want us to comment on, write in the mailbag. weallhatemovies@gmail.com. That's going to do it. Until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
The fuck was that?
I don't know. It's cinematic.
Put your 3D glasses on. Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.